Hey, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer, and this is a podcast where we explore the intersection between creativity and student learning. And we really focus a lot on design thinking, on project-based learning, on authenticity, and really what those mean in terms of empowering students. And for the last couple months, we've chosen to do a month-long series. So the first one was on student choice and empowerment. Then last month, we did the future of learning, and we're going to explore something kind of the opposite of the future of learning in this particular podcast and this particular series. It's going to be this idea of vintage learning, what it means to be innovative by looking backward instead of forward, and what it means to be innovative when you don't have high tech, or sometimes even choosing not to use high tech tools in the process. So let's take a dive into it. I love how everything that people mocked at one time as being outdated is suddenly becoming 21st century. It's becoming, well, kind of trendy. Don't lecture, that's horrible, it's awful, you need to completely stay away from it, people have said. And now it's, hey, we have a TED Talk at our school, you should come check it out. People mocked the non-techie projects, and now it's really common to have people talk about, you know, hands-on makerspaces and using cardboard and duct tape and things like that with your own two hands, actually building things rather than just making things online. We went from saying things like, you know, note-taking is useless when you have Google to check all your information and you can access it at any time. And yet now people are talking about sketchnotes and they're getting really into this idea of visual note-taking. Now, perhaps it's part of a larger cultural phenomenon. That's a very real possibility. People are embracing craft beverages, aka beer, and great craft slow-cooked food, not craft macaroni and cheese. I don't mean that kind of craft. They're doing, you know, DIY projects. You have the explosion of Etsy. People are listening to music on vinyl, and it's not just hipsters, right? And they're learning things like blacksmithing and knitting, which are both hobbies only for the toughest of the tough. But that's happening right now. There's this trend that's been going on for about a decade where it's almost like we've been waking up to the vintage and realizing that old isn't necessarily archaic. That's what happens when, you know, on home improvement shows, you're seeing all these people taking barns and restoring them, and you're having people hanging up shiplap and stuff like that. Don't ask me how I know what that term means. But maybe it's time we abandon this idea that certain educational practices are outdated. And maybe it's time that we realize that the best learning is timeless. And sometimes the best ideas are buried under this industrial carpet of factory schools. Maybe it's time that we realize that kids need vintage tools. See, some of the most innovative ideas are based not upon boldly looking forward, but on quietly looking back. To turn away from the collective gaze at all things novel and to look backwards at the things that we've lost that we want to bring back. Sometimes relevance doesn't mean a deep dive into augmented reality or artificial intelligence. Sometimes it's a deep dive into a novel or a meandering philosophical discussion on what it means to be human. It's often in the analog that we find the difference in perspective. I love how T.S. Eliot put it. He said, "A good poet will usually borrow from authors remote in time, or alien in language, or diverse in interest." And I love that idea of remote in time, because that's exactly what this is all about. It's the idea that maybe, just maybe, the old isn't all that bad. And actually, maybe the most relevant thing we need is a new perspective. Now, I want to be clear here. This doesn't mean we just need to be nostalgic. There are certainly horrible things in the past that we don't want to repeat. But in this edtech drive toward collective novelty, we often miss out on the classic and vintage. We buy into expensive tech wholesale, things like interactive whiteboards that promise to transform education and all things in it. We adopt the latest and greatest craze. When I was younger, it was Laserdisc. They were supposed to completely transform learning, and they didn't. And we do this without thinking about the context or the purpose. So with that in mind, here are 10 vintage or analog ideas that I think actually spark innovation in the classroom. Number one, sketchnoting. I love having students doodle out ideas. Sometimes it's a mind map, other times it's a diagram or an annotated picture. It's cool to see them change lettering sizes and thickness, add color, stuff like that. It's awesome. And it's kind of this idea that the simplicity of the sketchnoting actually allows them to choose more options. It gives them more freedom. So again, there's fewer options, but there's a lot more freedom because of this inherent simplicity, which leads to the second point, which is interactive notebooks. Now, like sketchnoting, interactive notebooks use simplicity to drive complexity. Students can sketch out ideas, diagrams, pictures, whatever they think of that they want to explore. They can tape in clippings and pictures that fold and unfold in bizarre ways. And over time, students can create this internal organizational structure. It's both what facilitates their thinking, but also what reflects their thinking. And so it's pushing them to think deeper, but it's also reflecting what's going on in their mind. Now, I think this works best when students have choice, and that's significant. Too often you see these interactive notebooks that are really nothing more than just worksheets that have been taped into, notebooks. But when it's done well, it's a chance for kids to be incredibly creative about the way they're processing information. Number three, prototyping with duct tape and cardboard. And I've mentioned this before, but some of the most innovative things we can use are the basic, like, no big deal kind of stuff that we have lying around. It's things like cardboard, duct tape, masking tape, but it's also reusing old crap that was being thrown away. It's picking things apart. It's tinkering, really, is what that's all about. And it's the idea that this is actually a better way to engage in the thinking of engineering, the problem solving and the designing, rather than, using a 3D printer. Now, this doesn't mean that a 3D printer is bad. I want to be clear on that. But it does mean that maybe the 3D printer needs to be balanced with just playing around with stuff. Number four, apprenticeships. Now, this is really hard to pull off in school, and I get that. But it's an old idea, an archaic one before our current system of education was ever invented. But I think it's really, really important. And I think it's important that we recover it in some way, shape, or form. Maybe kids can't do an internship. Maybe they can do a job shadowing. Or maybe we can bring people in from their jobs to model it in schools. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I'd love to see more of that. Number five, gardens. One of the things I love about Tim Lauer's Instagram feed, and he's a former principal at Lewis Elementary School, and he would show his garden. And it was a reminder that in a techno-digital age, there is value in feeling the dirt between our hands and watching life grow from virtually nothing and remembering that we are bound together by this idea of grace, this idea that we didn't earn what we have. Number six, recess or play. The idea is simple. Play matters. We need more movement, more unstructured time, more goofing around. And that's really, really valuable. And it's a vintage idea, but we need more of it because it's something we're losing in schools all the time. Number 7, Socratic seminars. And I recently talked about this in this podcast, the need for philosophy. But tech companies are dying to get people with philosophical backgrounds, people who understand and have talked about philosophy. And it's the idea that in this age of artificial intelligence, sometimes the most valuable, the most innovative thing we can have is wisdom. Number 8, games and simulations. My classroom used to be packed with games and simulations. This is when I taught social studies. I would do this modified factory to teach about industrialization and the labor movement. We did a modified version of Risk, and they would see how the alliance system and nationalism, imperialism, all those things led to World War I. We learned about total war through a paperball fight. We analyzed communism, capitalism, and socialism by hacking the game of Monopoly. But an interesting thing happened. When I attempted to move these into online simulations, even any of them, some of them, didn't have to be all of them at all, but when that happened, the student discourse fell off completely. They just didn't engage in it. And actually, students had a hard time remembering the concepts. There was something about the physical movement and these tactile experiences that led to a deeper understanding of the content. That's why I think non-tech games and simulations can be incredibly valuable in our classrooms. Number 9, experiments. Yeah, it's possible to watch an experiment on video, and I assume at some point we are going to have virtual reality glasses that allow students to experience these experiments firsthand. But what they will lack is agency. And that's important because this VR system of looking at it secondhand pales in comparison to the science experiment performed in the moment, aided only by the natural curiosity of a student and whatever stuff they have lying around to make this experiment possible. This is really important that they do hands-on science literally with their own two hands. There's some interesting research that backs this up as well. It's this idea that they looked at science retention and understanding of concepts and several different factors. And they found that students who took pictures of their science experiments understood it less than those who drew pictures. So there was, again, this idea of the way we make sense out of our world is oftentimes by interacting with it in a very tactile way. And that's lost sometimes when we move fully into the digital mode. Number 10, manipulatives, which is what I think the last couple ones have led into. And it's this idea that the hands-on stuff that we use makes a lot of sense. That math manipulatives are oftentimes more valuable to young students than a math app. And that maybe in the older grades, actually, when math gets too abstract, we need to think about how do we make it more manipulative? How do we make it something that you can play around with? So those are the 10 different vintage ideas or tools that can lead to innovation in your classroom. I want to point this out. I'm not opposed to using computers. My last blog series was all about that. I embrace the role of computers in our lives, and I get excited about innovative things. But in this month, like I said, we're going to explore these non-tech tools. We're going to look at the analog. We're going to delve into ideas that we've neglected as a culture, things like confusion and working slower. I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work. In fact, this could totally tank as a topic, but I'm excited to explore it, and I hope that you'll be excited to explore it with me. Thanks a lot for listening.